Now let's go. Let's go to page 29. The purpose of this segment is to learn how to loosen the client's model of the world, not necessarily to solve the problem, but you may solve the problem.
It may happen in some cases that the problem will disappear.
But this is for the purpose of undercutting the current presuppositions. The process is very simple. First, you identify all the presuppositions and you write them down. Again, the question you want to ask is, if you don't understand how the problem is a problem, you say to the client, how is this a problem? Remember we talked about that during your practitioner. For those of you that didn't take practitioner with us, let's just say that again. A client comes to you, and the client has no idea how the problem that he has is a problem.
The client may even utter a problem that's not really the problem. The client will try to link a certain set of kinesthetic internal to a certain sequence of logical words. That doesn't necessarily mean that the link the client's making is the real problem. So you need to figure out how is that a problem for the client, and the easiest way to do that is to try it on you. And you ask yourself,
if I were to have the same set of problem, would that cause the same symptoms that the client's experiencing? For example, a woman raised her hand in class and she said, I'd like to be your subject for parts integration. We'll talk about this again when we get to parts integration. And I said, what's the problem? And she said, I can't decide which of two houses to live in. I'm sorry to say this, but that's not a problem. So you have to ask this client, how is that a problem? And after a few minutes of questioning, she got to the point where she said, well, you know, part of me believes I can't have what I want. That's a problem. So you have to try it on, and you have to go look. Like what I did is I put it on, I said, geez, if I had two houses and I couldn't decide where to live, I wouldn't be having a problem. I'd have a hell of a good time. I'd really feel good about myself.
I mean, I can conceive how not having a house and not having where to live could be a problem, but having two houses, not really.
So then she said, no, part of me doesn't believe I can have what I want. Now, that's a problem. You have to try on the problem to see if it's a problem for yourself. We've talked about this during your practitioner. We don't need to belabor the point, but I think it's worth saying it again. Now, number two, you're going to identify all the presuppositions in the sentence using the presuppositions that we talked about already.
And then number two,
determine which ones will have the greatest effect on the problem. Now, you're going to structure the response as a question, and as you structure it, you presuppose a solution in the question by doing a mind read on what solution will work and asking a question that presupposes it. Then you're going to bring the presuppositions into the consciousness, which is restate the problem and then
you
ask
say,
the question.
A moment ago, you said, and you read back to the client his or her own words.
Yeah? So here's an example. Husband says, I get pissed off at my wife every time I come home and see the kids' toys all over the floor.
The process... You go just past the point of resolution, look at the ecology, and then ask them a question about ecology.
Which is?
In our example.
What are you going to do with all the time when you see, with all that time, when you see the toys in place? Or, how good will your wife feel when you only get pissed off at the kids?
Or, how good will your wife feel when the room's clean?
Now, here are some additional examples, and these are just examples. And we've actually given you some examples which have what we might call rules, but they're not hard and fast rules, because any way you challenge a presupposition is good. The first one is existence.
Using the presupposition of existence.
Which would be, how are you sure? And what you're going to do is you're going to challenge the evidence with not and use a temporal presupposition. So example, client says, I have anxiety. Master practitioner says, when are you listen to how I say it. When are you sure it's not there? Now that's very Cartesian, isn't it? Think about that for a minute. It's, when are you sure it's not there? That also provides a nice embedded command, which we'll talk about in a moment, as how to do that. Number two, awareness. You want to paste the presuppositions, switch referential index, and add the word not.
Example, I didn't realize that upset you. Response. What you didn't realize was what else you were communicating your upset.
By the way, that sentence doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
Logically. This in this case, when we're doing quantum linguistics, it doesn't have to make sense logically. It only has to be plausible. We'll see the real value of that.
Another possible response would be, I didn't realize how upset you were.
Number three. These are modal operators of possibility or impossibility. Remember that a modal operator of impossibility is, I can do the process of not. So the example is, I can't stop drinking. The response is, how can you not stop drinking? If it's a modal operator of necessity, you can chain it to a modal operator of possibility, and we'll go through how to chain modal operators in just a bit.
Now, if we have a complex equivalent as the main presupposition in the sentence, you can take the opposite, you can paste it to the limit, and use a counterexample with a referential index switch to the solution. You all know what referential index switch means?
You know what referential index is? That's just change I to U. Referential index is the person being referred to. So if I say this, to switch referential index, you would say you say this.
So the example would be, my wife never has dinner done. That means she doesn't love me.
Response is, how much will you have to eat so she knows she loves you? Interesting question. Okay, number five, page 211, cause and effect. We're going to switch position, referential index, chunk up on effect, switch referential index, and do a not on cause, which goes like this. Example, my wife doesn't understand me. Response, what is it that you don't totally understand in yourself that causes you to think she doesn't understand you? Interesting. Aren't these interesting questions?
So the switch of referential index in this case is from wife to you, you being the client.
By the way, is it okay if we, as we go through this, we sort of install this way of thinking in you? That's okay, isn't it? You don't mind if we... By the way, we already started, but I thought I'd get permission.
But that will happen only when you don't think about it.
Now. So what is it that you're not thinking about that will cause you to give us permission?
Because it won't happen all
this?
The time.
Now. Okay.
Now, time.
Time. Time is a nominalization.
I don't know if you ever thought of it, but time is a nominalization. You cannot put it in a wheelbarrow, can you? So since time is a nominalization, you can use the decision destroyer. The decision destroyer goes like this.
Client says, I regret my decision. You say.
When did you decide that? Before regretting it, what were you deciding?
What does that sound like? It turns the nominalization back into a process. And the word before, if the client fully does it, actually puts the client back before
the decision
was made. Okay. That, by the way, that's an incredibly powerful selling technique, especially when the client says, I've got my mind made up. I've decided to go and purchase the product from your competition. Marvelous. Number seven, an adjective adverb modifier. As in basic practitioner reframing, you just look for the same behavior in a different context. So you think of a different context, and that will essentially go beyond the boundaries of that particular context.
Now, exclusive, inclusive, or.
Number eight.
You chunk up to a common intent, which will give you a mind read, for sure. When, what, how, plus an exclusive or. An example, I can't decide if I should take the trainer's training or go home. Response, so if you don't do what you want, how will you learn what you need to learn?
That's a fabulous pattern, by the way. Now, we, by the way, agree that we're doing a mind read on doing what you want. Okay, here's another one. Should I stay in this relationship or not?
Response.
How will you ever be able to relate to anyone if you aren't free to do what you want? Do you see how these are non-mirror reverse in many ways? Yeah. Number nine, ordinal. Just reverse the order and apply one on top of the other. Example.
I need to know why I do it before I change what I do. Response. Why don't you change while you do it? So you move from sequential to simultaneous.